prep sports now. Las Vegas back in the national spotlight this week as far as the high school football scene. Bishop Gorman taking on Anaheim, California's Servite on ESPNU Friday night. I guess it's like the Catholic Bowl. Two private Catholic schools. Break it down for us, Ray. Bishop Gorman and Servite.
Well, I know Gorman will be on ESPN one more time this year than UNLV come Friday night. And after the way UNLV played Saturday, losing to Southern Utah, I guess it's a good thing that Gorman is the face of Las Vegas football, in my humble opinion.
Well, it looks like we're in a Servite room, though, because this whole room, everything is black. I just now noticed. And when I was doing my research for this podcast, I looked up Servite. Everything they had was black. It was kind of intimidating. All black jerseys. They're a really good team, undefeated right now.
Ranked 14th by ESPN. Gorman's 11 by ESPN. So just like we saw in late August when Gorman played Armwood from Florida at home, which was a close loss also on ESPN, this is going to be a great game. And it's the only game in town because of the Jewish holidays. All the other teams play on Friday. I'm on Saturday, so the whole city eyes will be on the Gorman-Servite game.
Yeah, and obviously you touched on it, but needless to say, Gorman can't really they can't look past is the right word. They got to make sure they get back in the mode to where they're playing a national team. They can't kind of cruise the way they have the last what do they have, three league games now or three or four. You got to put that mindset behind you and come in knowing you're going to be playing a big step up in competition.
Yeah, since the Armwood game, they've put up 24 points and only given up two touchdowns. And last week against Sierra Vista, they scored 74 points. And the biggest challenge for Gorman is going to be switching back into that we're playing a real good team mode. Because, listen, you go through the motions. You beat the teams they've played, Clark, Sierra Vista. And this is a week where you've got to, you know, get back and prepare. And I know Gorman prepares the same no matter who's on the schedule. If it's Armwood or Servite, they're going to prepare the same way if they're playing Pahrump Valley. And I know that seems real crazy, but you got to keep it that consistent. You can't, you know, say, oh, well, we're playing Sierra Vista this week. Let's watch film for 10 minutes and we'll go out there and jam it down their throats, you know. And you got to give Gorman's coaches credit for, you know, coaching every kid the same way, no matter if you're the starting quarterback or if you're the kid who just showed up for the team, and for considering each opponent equally as dangerous. A lot of that comes from basketball, right? Nobody thought they would have lost to Bishop McNogue, and they did. So you got to take everybody seriously.
I guess. I mean, I'm sure they do. This isn't to put down Gorman, but I don't really think they have to take all these teams seriously, and they would beat them.
I'm sure they don't have to, but the only way you're going to get to where you want to go, which for Gorman is to the top of that mountain, is to consider everybody, you know, like you're playing Servite or Armwood every week. Because, you know, if you lose to Servite or Armwood, oh, it's okay. You played a good game. If you lose to, like, Pahrump Valley, you're
done.
Biggest
upset ever.
Biggest upset. You're done. Literally, if you lose to one of those local teams, you're done. Right? You're trying to be a national power. You can't afford to slip up to a local team that shouldn't even be playing in the same stadium as you.
Yeah, not going to happen. Consistent preparation, though, I know that probably does breed success over at Gorman. I guess we'll give our official picks later in this game, but matchup-wise, what does Gorman need to do well other than just being focused and being well-prepared?
Well, I think being physical. We were at the first game of the year, the Sullenberger Classic against Chaparral, and basically second half they strapped it up and jammed it down their throats. And I think that the only way for Gorman to have success is to be more physical. They're so big up front, and they have so many talented players up front on that line with Strelo, Stanley, Scoggins, the three S's, that you'd be crazy not to try to establish the run, try to just flex your muscles. That's what they did against Armwood. I mean, what they did against Chaparral. They out-physicaled them. And the loss to Armwood, there in the fourth quarter when they erased that deficit and they made the game close, I thought they were pretty physical as well.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. Look, I think they're a great defensive team. I was impressed with what I saw against Chaparral in the second half, like you said. They did some good things against Armwood. So should be interesting to see. I can't wait. It's on TV, so if I can't watch, I'll have to DVR it. But, I mean, I haven't seen my favorite player in Las Vegas, Jake Smirk, in a while. So I can't see what he's up to coming off the defensive end. I'm expecting at least 2 sacks. So, Jake Smirk, if you're listening, don't let me down.
Yeah, and the thing is the last time we saw Gorman on ESPN, they left as heroes. You know, Florida was big and bad and physical and quick, and, you know, they dominated Gorman there in the middle quarters, and Gorman could easily fold it up its tent, but they rallied, they made things interesting, and it was a mid-range field goal at the end that could have sent it to overtime. And I remember just walking down on the field after that game, and, you know, Tony Sanchez, man, is like master motivator. If anything breaks in your life and you don't think you're going to be able to get through the next day, you know, your car breaks, you got to take the bus, you know, you're coming up a little short on your paycheck,
call Tony Sanchez and he'll give you a ride?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying, this guy, I mean, people, like, they're getting in the huddle and one kid's about to cry and he's like, don't cry, you don't cry. And it was just like the way he picked that team up after they lost, you know, ran the kids over to the band area to play the fight song. And instead of Gorman losing that game, I think everybody looked at it as winners that night because Florida was supposed to jam the ball down their throat. Remember, this is Nevada football versus Florida football.
Yeah, except for you, this is one of those fired up. You got me on the podcast all years, and you said Gorman is going to win. Is they're going to be more physical? I still can't believe that comment. But anyway,
anyways, what I'm saying is that, you know, do they have anything to win right now tomorrow Friday? Because again, they dominated Chaparral in the second half, looked great. 6 days later, they come back, put up a great fight against Armwood, almost pull out the game, and everybody thinks they're heroes and that they're in the right direction. What is there left to win now? Because if you look good against Servite, it's like, oh, yeah, there's that team against Chaparral. If you lose, it's, oh, Gorman's never going to be able to play with the big boys. The Nevada team's never going to be able to beat one of those teams from California. You know, I was out in a school this week and somebody, or last week, and they're like, oh yeah, if Gorman was in LA, they'd be 5-5, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's that mentality that floats around there. And I just don't know if they have anything to win, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I guess what you're saying makes sense.
I always make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It just takes me a while to get to where I'm going.
Okay, well, I think you broke it down well for us. Gorman Servite, ESPNU, Friday. So anyone that wants to watch it will probably have a chance because you won't be out at game Saturday. Full slate Saturday. But let's look back on last week first, Brewer. I'm glad I enjoyed it while it lasted. I dominated you in the picks last year in both football and basketball. Now you were just running away. I think you had 3 better games than me last week again. You're just way ahead of me. So congratulations. I enjoyed my victory while it lasted.
Well, I gave you the Mojave over Boulder City game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I owe you $10 now. So
that's
$5.
Yes. I'm building up a nice little bankroll. You know, the thing that stands out for me from last week's games is, dude, all year we've been so fired up for Del Sol Liberty this week. And Del Sol and Liberty looked so bad last week that it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster for me. You know, Del Sol gets thoroughly beaten by Moapa Valley, gives up 49 points to Moapa Valley. And you and I had said this earlier about Moapa. We thought they could play in the 4A. We thought they were one of the, you know, elite teams in state, and they just proved it because I had Del Sol third in our poll. I still think Del Sol is a great team, but they clearly didn't come ready to play. And you and I have both seen Del Sol. They're athletic, right? Moapa Valley doesn't have a kid on their team that's running any 40 time under 4.8, right? You saw, and so there goes the athleticism. On the other hand, Liberty, dude, block punts, the quarterback can't catch the snap, interceptions. Oh, my God. Liberty, just one mistake after another. But
they won.
They did. They pulled it out. And, you know, at the end, it was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give the ball to 6, Nico Capelli. He's going to run between the tackles over and over and over again, and you're not going to stop us. And that's how they won. If that Liberty team shows up in the first half, anytime the last 2 years, they're unstoppable. They always wait till the second half, and they're like, okay, we're going to give the ball to Capelli. He's going to run, break some kind of record, and we're going to move on.
Wait, and while we talked about last week, can we remind, who was Liberty playing again?
Silverado.
Silverado. Dun, 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 dun. You know what that is?
Yeah, the fight.
The Notre Dame fight song. So there you go. We talked about it last week, but God, I can't. I'm going to defend my Silverado pick. Look, it was an upset, but
they were up by 15.
They were up 20-6, I think, if you told me right.
14 or 15.
14 or 15. I bet they were more than a touchdown underdog in that game, and it was 26-20. It sounds like it could have gone either way. But what is going on with Silverado? How many games can this team give away? It's the same thing we talk about every week, every year.
Here's the deal. Silverado, ton of talent, very injured right now, very banged up. You got to have the horses. A lot of people think that, you know, if your ones are okay, you could kind of get through, but throughout the course of the game, you're going to have a sub go in there eventually, and Silverado just doesn't have the depth this year because of injuries to hang. So they've had leads against Del Sol, they've had leads against Liberty, and they've given them away just because they've ran out of gas. You know, they got their ones playing all over the field, and eventually it catches up to them. So you're right, the Notre Dame Skyhawks stumble late again.
Yeah, well, Liberty Del Sol, you touched on it. I still am really looking forward to this game just because, you know, sometimes we disagree on games, you know, week to week for fun. But this is the game ever since we sat down in here this year. I couldn't believe you had Del Sol ranked higher than Liberty. I can't believe you're telling me Del Sol was going to win. So I'm still really fired up for this game.
And the thing is I'm like 100% convinced Del Sol's going to win because I guarantee you that Liberty can't match Del Sol's athleticism. Even though the train wreck that happened in Moapa Valley, and you're like guaranteeing that Liberty is going to beat Del Sol.
Yeah, I mean, this just sounds so eerily similar to last year when we had Las Vegas. Oh, so athletic, so fast, no chance. It was 28-0 at halftime.
Okay, do I get credit at all for that win? Because I had those Liberty guys so fired up. All year I told them they were slow, they couldn't hang with Pharrell and Hassan, and what'd they do?
Destroyed them. Just like they're probably going to do to Del Sol this week.
I'm telling you.
Actually, I think the Del Sol game will be close, but no way Liberty
loses.
Take me
back to last year's game there. What happened in the Del Sol-Liberty game last year?
Del Sol had a really good first half, I think, and then Liberty came back and beat them, if I remember right.
You're right. Del Sol was up double digits late in the fourth quarter, and Liberty miraculously scores, gets the ball back, hits a long field goal, ends up winning. I mean, it was a perfect storm of things. Del Sol owns Liberty. Not like Palo owns Cheyenne, and we'll talk about that later. But Del Sol, Case, owns Liberty. Okay, Liberty's beaten them that one time. Del Sol just, you know, has that mindset. It's not like we're talking about, you know, a team like Vegas that runs the spread and relies on its athleticism versus a team like Liberty that runs downhill. We're talking Del Sol. Their theory is we're going to beat you on the line of scrimmage. We're going to be more physical than you.
If that is their game plan against Liberty, they are in big trouble from seeing both teams this year.
Let me just jump in. All right, go ahead. What I'm saying is that Del Sol has that I'm going to pound the ball down your throat theory with better players, more athletic. Who do you want, Capelli or Chris Marshall?
Chris Marshall, but I will say,
there you go.
I will say the gap is a whole lot less than you think it is.
You're right. I mean, you're right. Capelli has looked great. He is quicker than I think. But I will tell you right now, Legazga got banged up against Silverado. Without him in the lineup, they are slow, super slow. And if this turns into a track meet, I think Del Sol's going to prevail. Now, both of them, if you take the way they played last week, we could say whatever team gets the ball to the quarterback is going to win. Whatever team shores up its mistakes is going to win because both teams clearly didn't come ready to play, right?
If you say so, that's what it sounds like. I mean, I obviously didn't see either game, but that's
you
what it sounds
like.
You
can't give up 49 points to Moapa Valley. You know, no offense to Moapa. We think they're great, but giving up 49 points? I mean, it's like UNLV. Anyways, next.
so you're...
I'm taking Del Sol.
You think it's going to be a shootout, or you're just saying if it's a shootout?
If it's a shootout, I take Del Sol. If it's a shootout, if it's a field goal contest, if it's anything, I take Del Sol in anything. A game of checkers at halftime, I like Del Sol. $5. And I'm already up 10.
You are already up 10, but I am very confident you are not going to be up 15. This is one game where I just feel like I have a really good read on it. I really don't see how Del Sol beats Liberty. I mean, I hope... I know Liberty is really fired up because I picked against them last week. You know, I've heard through the grapevine. I hope don't get complacent because I'm back on the bandwagon, but I see no way
How
that they lose
they
to Del Sol.
They see the records, baby. I'm losing 2-3 games every week. I'm giving upsets left and right. I gave you Bonanza over Durango.
I tried to give Bonanza over Desert Oasis. They were up 17-0 at halftime. How good would I have felt to know I was up 20-6 in the Silverado game at one point and 17-0 in the Bonanza game at one point, and they both lost? So hey, that's what happens when
You got to play a full four quarters. It's like the lines in the NFL, huh?
Ah, that's true.
I had the lines on my little great giveaway thing.
Okay, well, there you go. I guess that the other big game this week that we wanted to talk about, Cheyenne and Palo Verde, both undefeated in the Northwest.
Shutdown!
It kind of feels good that this game is meaningful again, because the last couple years, I mean, it's a big rivalry, but the last couple years, Cheyenne was already kind of on the downswing while Palo was still at the top.
Key for this game for Cheyenne is they've got to be competitive early. Palo is going to look to come out quick. If Palo does come out quick, these Cheyenne kids just aren't built to come back, and they aren't mentally ready if they get down a few touchdowns. I think they mail it in like they did last year. Cheyenne virtually is no passing game. They got the three great running backs. Lewis counts and Spite. And we know Palo's defense has been exceptional this year. Could those three guys that are quick and speedy, could they get enough space to create some difference? Here's my problem with Cheyenne, Case. Cheyenne, they don't care who they're playing. Gorham and Palo, Pahrump, Faith. They're going to line up and play the same way. They're going to go. They're going to try to be quick, and they're going to try to outscore you. When you play Palo, what do you got to do? You got to control the ball. You got to control the clock. You got to. If you're the team that's not as good as the other team, you got to control possessions. You got to keep Palo's offense off the field, right? You got to eat up. Like if I'm trying to beat Gorman or Palo, I will tell you right now, we're winning the coin toss. And we're going 3 yards in a cloud of dust until we score.
Makes sense. Makes enough sense. Like I said earlier.
Cheyenne, they want to go trips or whatever, and they want to try to get their guys out into space, and they want to turn it into a track meet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're ready to go. It's like Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson. Here we go. Click. And the next thing you know, it's like 45-32. Cheyenne has got to control the ball against Palo Verde. I'm happy the game means something. I'm happy Chi-Town's on the way back up because nobody in town had better athletes than Cheyenne about 5 or 6 years ago.
I do agree it's probably a bad matchup in that regard. But one thing, just to play devil's advocate, is I do think that...
Advocate away.
I do think that Cheyenne won a game like that this year. I believe it was Legacy, really low scoring, and it seemed like they kind of picked up a few yards every time I won a close game there at the end. So is it really too far-fetched to think they could do it again, at least try to play that style again?
I just don't think that's the game plan. The game plan is let's get to 50. Who gets to 50 first is going to win.
Well, I think that would definitely I agree with what you're saying. I like Palo in the game, and I think you do too. Okay. But I'm not going to be surprised if Cheyenne keeps it close.
I'm not going to be surprised either, and I want him to keep it close. I want it to be a good game. I think Cheyenne's a great story. They're the only team that really had success against Gorman, keeping it close during Gorman's dynasty and beating them when Gorman was coming up but not organized yet. With that said, Palo's absolutely destroyed them, even when Cheyenne was good. I think, you know, Cheyenne last beat Palo 6 or 7 years ago. Palo's won, 17,000 regional titles, and they've beaten Cheyenne in every game except the one of them. So Palo definitely holds the upper hand in the series. If it was two normal teams, I would say Palo also holds a mental edge against Cheyenne, but I'll tell you right now, these kids from Cheyenne don't care who they play, when they play, how they play. You want to get a game going at 2 a.m. on a Sunday in some sand, they're going to line up and try to score 50 first.
I guess this is kind of off topic, but if I'm only giving you one of those three running backs to work with, you're starting your own team, who are you taking?
Well, it depends what kind of team I'm taking.
The Ray Brewer philosophy. If you're building your own football team, you can only take one of them. What do you go with?
Well, Milo Lewis is the guy who's got to touch the ball 30 times a game because he's got the breakaway speed, and you know he's had at least 2 touchdowns in every game this year. But Kenneth Counts is just like the heart and soul of the team. He's a leader. He's level-headed. He's a little more mature than the other two. Tyler Spite is supposed to be their big and their physical guy, and he'll roll up his sleeves and get nasty with those Palo Verde defensive linemen.
So it sounds like if I know you well enough, you might take counts just because he's kind of the whole package.
Well, he is the whole package, but his wheels don't run as fast as Milo's. And you know me, if I'm coaching a high school football team, I'll know within the first week who's getting the ball 30 times. And it's going to be like, okay, this guy right here, number three, whoever, if it's Shaq Powell or Kyle Kepplinger or whoever it is.
Nico Capelli. I always have to be the one to throw him in.
No, Nico. I gave Nico a lot of love this week. Nico Capelli, Chris Marshall, whoever it is, he's playing both ways. He's kicking off. He's punting. He's returning all the kicks. He's touching the ball once every other play. And that's how you got to do it. And it frustrates the heck out of me when it's like, oh, let's use him as a decoy. Let's give him a few plays off. High school football, you play your best 11 out there every play. Hence why Del Sol always kicks everybody's, you know what, Taylor Larutskis.
Oh, yeah, they really kicked everyone's tails when they came in fourth place last year in the Southeast. But anyway, well...
going to the state finals the year before.
I agree.
And having a bunch of injuries.
I agree. Del Sol, great program.
You're a hater.
You can always count on them to make the playoffs. I'm counting on them to make the playoffs again this year, but they're not going to be ahead of Liberty at the end of the year. We'll get on to the rest of the games. Talking so much about the Southeast, we're going to start over in the Northwest. Shadow Ridge and Arborview. I got to think I know what way you're going in this game.
If I was going any other way than Arborview, we'd have to stop the podcast and get me examined for mental illness. Arborview, one of the elite teams in town. They looked great last week in the second half against Legacy.
Yep, Arborview all the way in this one. El Dorado and Desert Pines. Desert Pines is 0-4. Kind of hard to believe because we know they have a whole lot of talent over there.
Tough schedule. I'm worried about Desert Pines mentally. After losing four games like that where they were in all four games, Desert Pines, Vegas, Canyon Springs, Vegas, you warn about them mentally. El Dorado's just real banged up. I'm telling you, dude, El Dorado isn't as bad as they're playing. Still give me DP.
Yeah, I'm going DP too. Maybe L Dog isn't bad, but they aren't quite on the level of DP. I think DP wins this one by a couple touchdowns.
I agree.
I actually said that in the picks. Coronado and Green Valley. I gotta say, what kind of inside information did you know at the beginning of the year to pick Green Valley to make the playoffs? Because now it looks like they're going to challenge to win the Southeast all of a sudden.
I knew Aaron Love was a real deal player who was just about to explode and break out, and he's done that. He's the guy you got to get the ball to every play. He's been better than Marshall and Kepplinger, agreed?
I think stats-wise, he had to be, right?
Stats-wise,
impact-wise, I haven't seen him yet, but
he's legit. He's the real deal.
Can they win this division?
Well, I mean, they're half... Well, I don't know. They still got to play Liberty, and they still have to play Del Sol. I think they match up great against Del Sol. It'll be a shootout. Against Liberty, I'm just worried that, you know, Green Valley's defense did give up 52 points once this year, and I think the pound it down your throat thing isn't going to work out for them.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm starting to think about them maybe winning this the Southeast is because we didn't talk about this last week, but if you would have asked me who I would say was the favorite, who was going to win the Southeast, I might have had to gone with Foothill from what they've done. Green Valley beat Foothill.
Even the way they played against Coronado?
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe it was just one slip-up, and maybe this is just two slip-ups. Maybe they've had two bad weeks, but I'm really, really impressed with what I've seen from Green Valley, and I think they're going to continue against Coronado.
I agree.
All right. Faith Lutheran and Moapa Valley.
Moapa Valley. Faith is rebuilding. Moapa, we know, is great.
A long trip for Faith Lutheran to go up there and get beat bad. At least it's in the morning, so they'll be back for some Saturday night activities. Clark and Sierra Vista in the Southwest. This actually could be pretty interesting now looking at it. Who do you got?
It is pretty interesting. Dude, I don't know, man. You got my theory that once you play Gorman or Palo, you realize you're not that good and you have no chance. So, in my opinion, after losing it like Sierra did, 74-6, season's kind of over, right? Mentally, at least. Clark, season's been over for them already mentally. I just think maybe who's going to commit the least amount of mistakes? Give me Sierra Vista. I don't know why. I can't believe I just...
Oh, I'm so disappointed because I was going to take Sierra Vista and thought for sure you weren't. So this might be a new thing here at Prep Sports. Now, we both have Sierra Vista. I think Sierra Vista's got a little bit more players than Clark, and I think they're going to win a close game. Las Vegas is traveling to Valley. Those Vikings have a two-game win streak. I don't think they're going to make it three, but you never know.
I will tell you, Valley beat Vegas like 3 years ago, and it was an upset. And Valley, to their credit, has somehow won two close games against teams they, I guess, theoretically should have beat in Rancho and L-Dog. I just think they get a wake-up call. Pharrell Victor in the afternoon sun. Touchdown City. For as bad as I thought Vegas' defense was going to be, it's been a pleasant surprise. Not that the competition the last few weeks has merited beating yourself in the chest, but I think Vegas wins leisurely.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think Valley's a good story. It looks like they absolutely control their destiny probably to get the fourth spot in the Northeast, but no way they're beating Vegas here. We'll go on to a homecoming game. Kind of weird that it's homecoming Saturday. Does that mean that it's a dance Saturday night? Are these guys, are Brandon Andrews and all these guys going to have to go get right in the showers and then pick up their dates straight from the stadium? We got Desert Oasis and Spring Valley. What do you think?
I think Brandon Andrews carries his tuxedo into the locker room, and they win big.
Yeah, I mean,
running clock, maybe.
Running clock. Wow, I like Desert Oasis, too. Can't believe I picked against them last week. I just can't figure out Bonanza. Give me Desert Oasis. We'll go out to Pahrump Valley next. They're hosting Durango, who got back on track last week and shut out Clark.
I will tell you, this game is, I don't know, man. I was about to say it's going to be closer than you think because Pahrump's at home, and that's a tough trip to make. But I just think Durango's got too many good players, and it's going to be tough for Pahrump to match up.
Got to agree. Got to go with Durango. Not much insight to add here other than Durango should run away with this one. Wow, well, we've kind of hit a thrilling stretch of games. Now after that, we go to Canyon Springs and Sunrise Mountain. Another game that I don't think is going to be close. Canyon Springs, big.
Could I give you a quick funny story?
Yeah, go ahead.
When I typed Marcus Sherman's, the Valley coach's number into my phone, I accidentally typed in Kai Edwards, the coach from Sunrise Mountain. So I hit Marcus Sherman, who I thought I was calling, and it was Kai Edwards. And I was like, hey, coach, congrats on the big win. And he's like, oh, we got killed 66-20. And I realized it was Kai Edwards. I'm like, oh, bro, I'm sorry. Bad information.
Ouch. Who were they playing?
They lost to Rancho.
Oh, and you said congrats on the big
win.
Congrats
on the big win. They lost by 46.
Wow. I'm glad I haven't done that one. That's one I haven't done.
I'd take Canyon big.
Yeah, Canyon too. Good story. We'll get to these next two games. Well, we already talked about Liberty Del Sol. That's the next game on the schedule here.
You're taking Liberty. It's your last chance.
I mean, yeah, this is pretty cut and dried who we're taking and pretty cut and dried what's going to happen. Liberty wins about a 10 to 14 point game. So I'll go Liberty. Next game, Silverado is hosting Basic. What do you think?
It's just like Del Sol owning Liberty. There's no way Basic loses to Silverado. Basic is just – even Silverado just can't slow Basic down. Basic's offense gives Silverado's defense fits. Silverado, I think, has lost the last 3 years to Basic. It continues, even if on paper – Silverado might look better. I like Basic.
Wow, it continues. We just keep agreeing on more games. I kind of got a snagging sense here that tells me to take Silverado, but Silverado has just not done anything to prove that they deserve to be picked in this game. I think Basic has looked good at times. Silverado is just, I mean, the way they lost these last two games sounds ridiculous, and they've also lost to Bonanza. There's no way I can back Silverado. Give me Basic in this game. Next, we'll have Rancho and Chaparral. I'm assuming you aren't picking your Cowboys for yet another week.
Disappointing. I'm going to take Rancho. Let me point this out, though. We're picking road teams in, like, every game.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, I'm not. I have Liberty.
Oh, man. It's all you're okay.
That's true. Yeah, I got to go Rancho here, another road game. I'm going to give you a chance to pick another road team here, and hopefully when we finally disagree on Legacy and Cimarron.
Game obviously important for the playoffs. Legacy, I don't think, is as bad as people think. 16-14, they lost to Cheyenne. Cheyenne put up a similar victory against Cimarron. I think it's evenly matched. that the Williams kid is going to be the best player on the field. I just don't see Legacy losing, though. Legacy.
Is this an elimination game? I kind of feel like whoever loses this isn't making the playoffs.
I don't know if it's directly an elimination game, but eventually it will be.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Yes. I'm going to go Cimarron. I really think it is a coin flip, too. I think Cimarron is just a tad better. I think they're going to win by a field goal or less. Really close game, but I'll go with Cimarron. Centennial, finally, you know, earlier this year, we look at their schedule. Every week they got an extremely tough test. Now it's kind of gone the other way. They have Mojave, and they should roll.
They should roll. You're right. They rolled last week against Shadow. But I will say they got shut out in the second half against Shadow. And Mojave rolling a little high. They're confident after breaking their, I think, 16 or 17-game losing streak. It's a home game on a Saturday. Maybe the Mojave kids come ready to play. I'm taking Centennial, but I don't think they're going to win as easy as you think. I think it's going to be close, two touchdowns or less. I'll take the points with the Rattlers.
All right, Centennial for me, too. Bonanza and Western. Is Bonanza going to be all right after losing their first game? Are they going to bounce back and beat Western big?
I don't think Western's beaten anybody this year, so I think Bonanza's just fine.
Yeah, I'm going Bonanza, too. We'll finish off in the 3A.
You're not picking the Palo game?
Did we not already pick it? All right, Palo, Cheyenne, go for it. I thought we already picked it.
Oh, you picked Palo?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I did too. Okay,
Palo all the way.
Palo.
But could be a closer game. Last game, like I said, the opening of the 3A season, Boulder City at Virgin Valley. I think I know what way you're going, and I'm going to go that way as well.
Here's my deal. Feel bad for both these two teams because you only got two league games. Really?
I can't say it better.
It's a big week. I mean, it's October the 1st, and the loser of this game, season over. Right? For the most part, fair to say?
Yeah.
So, I mean, why even get on the bus to play the rest of the games? Big game, I take Virgin.
Yeah, I'm taking Virgin Valley, too. I think they got a lot more going for them. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Prep Sports Now.
Del Sol Dragons!